Hello, my name is Mahendra Gupte. We are looking at Chapter 8, Carriage Contracts. What is a contract of carriage? A contract of carriage is an agreement between a carrier, that is a transporter, and a shipper, sender, for transporting goods or passengers. The consignee is the recipient of the goods. This contract covers transport by air, water, or road and defines the times, terms and responsibilities of each party. Let's understand this. What is a contract of carriage? A contract of carriage is an agreement between a carrier, that means the vehicle owner or the so-called transporter, and a shipper, that is the sender, for transporting goods or passengers. The consignee is the recipient of the goods. So now we have three people involved here. One is the carrier, the transporter, the shipper, that is the sender, and the receiver, who is called the consignee. This contract covers transport by air, water, or road and defines the terms and responsibilities of each party. Goods in India can be transported by land, sea, air, or a combination, that is a multimodal transport. Different laws govern such different modes. Let's look at each of them and which acts cover them. Carriage of goods by land are covered under Carriage by Road Act of 2007 and the Railways Act of 1989. Carriage of goods by air covered by Carriage by Air Act 1972. Carriage of goods by sea, the Indian Bills of Lading Act of 1856, the Carriage of Goods by Sea Act 1925, the Merchant Shipping Act of 1958, and the Marine Insurance Act of 1963. Multimodal transport of goods is covered by the Multimodal Transportation of Goods Act 1993. Let's get into details of how does a contract of carriage look, and before that, what are the classification of the carriers? Classification of carriers. Carriers are classified into common carriers, private carriers, and gracious carriers. Common carriers. The Carriers Act 1865 defines a common carrier as a business that transports goods or for payment over land or waterways, applying only to goods, not passengers. So there are three classification of carriers. One is the common carrier, second is the private carrier, and third is the gracious carrier. Common carriers are those people who are actually in the business of transportation of goods for a payment that they receive for transportation. So which means that we are looking at a transporter who has vehicles or is able to book space on a ship for transportation by water. Carriers Act of 1865 defines a common carrier as a business that transports goods for payment over land or waterways, applying only to goods, not passengers. What are private carriers? Private carrier transports its own goods and may occasionally enter into a contract to carry goods, which is a contract of bailment and not covered by the Carriers Act 1865. So here it is very clear that the Carriers Act of 1865 covers only common carriers. That means only those people or only transporters who on a regular basis contract with other companies or individuals for transportation of goods. A private carrier transports its own goods and may occasionally enter into a contract to carry goods. That means that normally the carrier or the transporter transports his own goods, which means it may be a private owned company who also has a manufacturing unit or a trading unit, and they carry their goods only. But occasionally they may contract the vehicles to somebody else to carry goods. However, in spite of the contracting the vehicles to carry goods for somebody else, they are not covered under the Carriers Act. Who is a gracious carrier? Gracious carrier transports goods or people free of charge. A gracious carrier, in simple words, is where you are traveling by your car and give a lift to your friend from point A to point B. You are a gracious carrier. Responsibility of common carrier and bailee. A common carrier is responsible for delivering goods safely, regardless of whether the damage is due to their negligence or not. A common carrier follows the Common Carriers Act 1865, while a private carrier is liable under the Indian Contracts Act of 1872. Let's understand the responsibility of common carriers and a bailee. A common carrier is responsible for delivering goods safely, irrespective of whether the damage is due to their negligence or not, which means that the safety of the goods and a proper delivery is the responsibility of the common carrier, and this is governed by the Common Carriers Act of 1865. While a private carrier is liable under the Indian Contracts Act of 1872. Let's look at classification of goods. Classification of goods: transport depends on value and speed. Cargo is either general, that means no special handling required, or special cargo, which requires precautions. What is special cargo? Includes goods with specific requirements like packaging, labeling, and handling. Examples are dangerous goods, live animals, and perishable items, governed by relevant transport authority rules. Classification of goods: all goods are classified for the purpose of transportation or cargo into two parts. One is the general class, which is the general cargo which does not require any special handling, or special, which requires precautions. Examples of general cargo would be clothes, other stationary items, or electronic items also, generally where they are packed and the packaging takes care of the handling and any other issues that may come up. But they do not require any special handling, nor do they require any special precautions to be taken. The second category is special cargo. This special cargo requires precautions. That means there are processes as per the classification of the special cargo, there would be processes to be followed and certain rules and regulations also to be met, because they could be governed by certain rules and regulations of the government, especially where the cargo is hazardous in nature. Special cargo includes, examples would be those like live animals, perishable items, dangerous goods, and may need goods with specific requirements like packaging, labeling, and handling. That means certain goods which require a specific requirement, like they need to be transported only under temperature controlled conditions, or for example they cannot be stored for long in the open, but need to be even stored for longer periods in specified temperatures or environments. These are all special cargo. Hazardous cargo: the UN committee classifies dangerous goods into 9 classes based on the risks they pose. Class 1, explosives. Explosives ignite or detonate quickly due to a chemical reaction. Now, this is typically those explosives used for as ammunition or used for mining purposes. So these explosives which ignite or detonate quickly due to a chemical reaction are classified under class 1. Class 2, gases. Gases pose risks, including liquefied, dissolved, or mixed gases. So all those gases, whether they are in cylinders or any other kind of containers, or whether they are in liquefied form or in mixed condition, but those that pose certain risks are classified as under class 2. Class 3, flammable liquids. Flammable liquids are highly volatile and combustible liquids with a low ignition temperature. We all understand flammable liquids, and the best example is petrol. If you want to transport petrol or similar chemicals mixed in a company or for whatever reason produced to be transported, then these are high volatile and combustible liquids. They require to be met with their conditions or rules of class 3. Flammable solids under class 4. Flammable solids are materials that are easily combustible. That means we are looking at items like camphor or something else which can ignite immediately. They are in normally found in solid form. Class 5. Oxidizing substances. Oxidizers include oxidizing agents and organic peroxides. Class 5. Oxidizing substances are substances which are oxidizing agents. That means they are able to react very easily with other cargo, especially metal. If you are carrying this material, then classified under class 5 as hazardous cargo, the precautions need to be met to the extent that even the cargo in the adjoining cabin or the adjoining room needs to be taken care of to avoid them getting affected by these oxidizing agents. Class 9. Toxic and infectious substances. Toxic substances harm through contact. Infectious substances cause diseases. These are most of the time either viruses or materials that are being transported for medical purposes. Now these were classified where they can cause any harm by just a small contact with the skin or with the hands, bare hands, and infectious substances cause diseases. We all know what COVID did to all of us. In this condition, if there are transportations involved, then they have to be classified under class 6, and all the terms and conditions and precautions have to be adhered to. Class 7. Radioactive material are dangerous if unstable, posing serious threats to humans and the environment. These are materials radioactive materials that are used for X-rays in regular hospitals. Now, if that material has to be transported, then they need to be properly stabilized so that there are no threats to humans and the environment. And in case, if there are threats, then there are MSDS sheets which are available to give the people who are handling the product an idea of how to go about and what precautions to take. This is classified under class 7. Class 8. Corrosives. Damaged materials on contact, such as batteries, chlorides and paints. Corrosive materials are materials which damage other materials just on contact, or they can also harm a human who gets in touch with them directly. Items like acids, batteries if they leak because batteries contain acids, chlorides and paints. Paints are also classified under the flammable goods because they ignite pretty fast. But these items, when they are to be transported, need to be classified under class 8, and then all precautions as mentioned under class 8 need to be adhered to. Class 9, in the last class, is miscellaneous goods. Miscellaneous goods include dry ice, marine pollutants and motor engines. Now, it is funny to say that motor engines and marine pollutants are classified as miscellaneous goods. In fact, marine pollutants should be in some other class where they are properly cared for. But all the same, since they are in class 9, the terms, the conditions and the rules for class 9 have to be followed for both. For all the examples, dry ice, marine pollutants and motor engines. In fact, it is all those materials which are classified as hazardous cargo but not covered by the earlier 8 classes. Packaging requirements for dangerous goods. The packaging requirements that must be kept in mind while shipping dangerous goods is there should be the UN number. A UN number is a 4-digit code for a substance. Example, UN 1090 for acetone. PSN. PSN stands for proper shipping name, which accurately describes the cargo. For example, the PSN for lighters is lighters. Packaging group. The UN has 3 packing groups, 1, 2 and 3, and requires proper documentation for shipping dangerous goods. Let's look at what are the packaging requirements and understand them for all the dangerous goods. The packing requirements that must be kept in mind while shipping dangerous goods is that each of the the hazardous cargo package must have the UN number. Now, UN number, although a 4-digit code, is a universal number that is specified by the UN, and it is now understood that 1090 across the world is acetone. That's just an example. You have similar UN numbers for each of the hazardous cargo. PSN stands for proper shipping name, which accurately describes the cargo. For example, the PSN for lighters is lighters. To give you an example for PSN, you must have seen many a times tankers which are transporting petrol or diesel with a name behind as Hazchem. That means it is an hazardous chemical. Now, if you look at it later, they will some of the trucks, especially the multinational companies, they specify the UN name or the PSN, which actually says what is it. It will normally classify petrol or diesel to be flammable liquid. That this is what PSN actually means. It describes the actual product in a general term or a specific term pertaining to the product itself. Now, the idea of using a PSN on your label is that there is no ambiguity, and anybody reading that label and the PSN is aware what it means, because again, it is universal and followed and given by the UN. The UN has also specified three packing groups, packing group 1, 2 and 3, and requires proper documentation for shipping dangerous goods. We will look at what are the actual requirements of documentation a little later. Documents that usually accompany a hazardous cargo shipment. Some of the important documents required to ship dangerous goods for ease of customs clearance at the port. Material Safety Data Sheet, MSDS for short, details hazards and safe handling of dangerous goods. Dangerous Goods Declaration, DGD, details category, marks, packaging and labels of dangerous goods. Dangerous Goods Manifest, DGM, provides all dangerous goods information in one document. Let's understand what are the documents that are required for that should accompany a hazardous cargo shipment, and what do those documents actually serve as a purpose. Some of the important documents required to ship dangerous goods for ease of customs clearance at the ports. Now, instead of the book says that it is dangerous cargo goods for ease of customs clearance, but as I see it, it is much more than that. It is especially for people who are actually handling the cargo that these documents should be accompanying the cargo. You will realize what I am trying to tell you. MSDS, Material Safety Data Sheet. Now, this document contains what is the chemical content of the material, and it also tells you how to safely handle the material, and if there is a problem of leakage or if there is a contact of the human being with this material, what are the precautions to be taken. Now, this is definitely a detailed sheet which should be read by everybody, not only the customs officers, but especially those who receive the goods right at the first stage. Then they are aware of how to handle, what precautions to take, so that they are not affected by when the goods are being transported. Dangerous Goods Declaration, DGD details, category, marks, packaging and labels of dangerous goods. So let's say there is a leakage of some product on the ship or in the container, and you want to know what is inside. You need to look at the DGD document, and it will give you all the details, including whatever is left of the packaging and what you are able to read the marks from. Now, this is because most of the time when leakages happen for hazardous cargo, they more or less eat up or destroy the packaging that was already made. So it is easier now to understand what liquid it is and how to take care of the precautions on how to take care of the spillage and what precautions to be taken in handling that product. This is all available through the DGD. Dangerous Goods Manifest provides all dangerous goods information in one document. So this is a document which is more or less a summary of both the above documents of Material Safety Data Sheet and Dangerous Goods Declaration, but they are only a summary. So if you need to look at the details, you need to look at the individual sheets separately. Transport Emergency Card. TREM card gives transport instructions for dangerous goods carried by workers. Container packing certificate. Training is vital for safety handling hazardous goods. TREM, as it is called, is nothing else but a transport emergency card, which indicates what is the emergency, how the emergency of is to be handled during the transportation of these goods. Whenever there is a TREM card, it gives the transporting people a clear idea of what is to be done in case of any spillage or any damage to the containers. Container packing certificate, it's a certification which says that the container has been tested and all other information with respect to the container which is being used to contain the hazardous material. A six-step guide to dangerous goods shipping. Six-step guide for safely transporting dangerous goods. Know the regulations pertaining your type of cargo. Follow regulations strictly when transporting dangerous goods. Ensure people are trained. Proper training is key to handling hazardous goods safely. Let's look at the six-step easy guide to handling dangerous goods while shipping. If you are going to handle some or wanting to ship some hazardous cargo, it is better to follow these six steps, which are easy and a must, which you will realize at the end of going through all the six steps. Know the regulations pertaining your type of cargo. Definitely, if you are going to transport any goods under the hazardous cargo, you need to first understand which class they are classified. We just understood what are the 9 classes for hazardous cargo. Now, each of these classes has their own regulations, and those regulations must be strictly followed. Let us realize this, that it is not only endangering the lives of people or and the transport itself, but it is also required by the insurance company if you are going to insure your goods. Unless all these regulations are followed and the packaging material is up to the required standard, you will not be able to claim any damages for goods which are lost or damaged during transit. Ensure people are trained. Proper training is key to handling hazardous goods safely. So instead of just having people who are contracted on a day-to-day basis, it would be better to have proper trained people who have undergone safety training and they know how to handle hazardous goods. Now the idea is that they may handle the goods for a fraction of time, but in that fraction of time, things could go wrong. And if they are not trained, things may definitely go wrong. Classify the hazardous cargo properly. Shippers must classify and mark dangerous goods to alert handlers. Pack your shipment correctly. Pack dangerous goods properly and use UN markings for safety. Use the correct labels and documents. Label packages correctly and maintain required documents. Find the right container. Hazardous goods need special containers. Ensure the right type is ordered for leased for transportation. Let's look at what is the third step. Classify the hazardous cargo properly. Shippers must classify and mark dangerous goods to alert handlers. Now, as I said, we need to classify under which class is the hazardous cargo that you want to ship, because each of those classes has a different method and different process to be followed when handling it, as well as it will further require certain handlers who are trained in that class of goods for handling the cargo. Pack your shipment correctly. Pack dangerous goods properly and use UN markings for safety. Most of the time, the producers of this dangerous goods, rather the chemicals or whatever it is, are surely aware of the requirement for packaging to protect the material and the environment from any chemical reactions. It would be advisable to follow their instructions and pack the goods properly and then use them with the UN markings that we just understood earlier. The reason is, irrespective of where the material is being shipped, whether it is to another country or another state in the country, it is better to have universal markings as an indication of the cargo so that they can be referred to with the documents that are being accompanied and understand what exactly the cargo is. Use the correct labels and documents. Label packages correctly and maintain the required documentation. This is very necessary because unless material is labeled, people will not know what is inside. Now, when you follow UN markings, there are documents that are available to refer to those UN markings and understand what material it is. But it would also be advisable to have proper names of at least what you are aware of to be put on the package, so along with the UN number and the PSN, so that it is a little more clear as to what material is contained. Find the right container. Hazardous goods need special containers. Ensure the right type is ordered or leased for transportation. Now, while there is a requirement for specialized containers to transport goods of hazardous nature, it is not that you will spend a bomb for getting that container. You have a facility of leasing them out from shipping lines or from transporters. So it would be advisable, if it's a one-time shipment, to lease out that container and use it during transportation. Now, if one thing is assured here, if you are leasing a container, is that the container is certified and has been certified by the UN or other regulatory authorities and is made to the required design for the hazardous cargo. Carriage by Road Act 2007. Let's look at from cargo, let's come to the mode of transport, that is carriage by road. The Carriage by Road Act 2007 governs the carriage by road. The Carriage by Road Act 2007, effective from March 1, 2011, replaced the Carriers Act of 1865. The Act regulates common carriers, limiting their liability for loss or damage due to negligence or criminal acts. Applies only to common carriers, not government or private carriers. Carriage by road is governed by the Carriage by Road Act of 2007, which became effective from 1st of March 2011 and replaced the old Carriers Act of 1865. The Act regulates common carriers, again, which means that it does not cover private carriers or government carriers, limiting their liability for loss or damage due to negligence or criminal acts, which means that the damage of goods carried by the common carriers, the liability of the common carrier is limited to negligence on their part or any criminal acts. As I said, they only cover common carriers, not government or private carriers. Classification of carriers, Section 2. A common carrier transports goods for hire using motorized road transport and includes booking companies, agents and couriers, but excludes the government. A common carrier transports goods for hire, that means for a rent or for a payment, using motorized road transport, that means a truck or any other vehicle, and includes booking companies, agents and couriers. Definitely, the transporter cannot be present everywhere, and he may in fact be based in one state but offers transportation facilities in another state through his booking companies, agents and couriers. Now, this excludes the government because public transport is not part of the carrier as a common carrier. Private carrier. A private carrier contracts to carry goods on agreed terms and can refuse transport. So, as we understood, a private carrier is who? A private carrier is that person who normally is owned by a company for their transportation of goods. On certain occasions, this transporter or this company may lease out their vehicles to somebody for a one-time contract of transportation. That means that there is a contract to carry goods on agreed terms. But mind you, the private carrier can always refuse to take up the transportation based on his other priorities, because he is not bound to be a common carrier. He is not bound to take up transport irrespective of the conditions. Rights, liabilities and responsibilities of common carriers. Section 8 says the consignor must issue a goods forwarding note and is liable for any loss due to incorrect details. Rights, liabilities and responsibilities of the common carriers. Section 8. The consignor must issue a goods forwarding note and is liable for any loss due to incorrect details. Now, who is the consignor? The consignor is the sender. Now, the sender needs to issue a goods forwarding note or a detailed information, whatever the document is called, which describes the correct details of the goods, packages, number of packages, weight, volume, if required, so that any loss due to incorrect details can be prevented. Section 8. Common carrier liability is limited to 10 times the freight, unless a higher risk rate is agreed. Section 10, subclause 2 says, in case of delivery delay within the agreed period, the liability is limited to the freight charged. Section 12. A common carrier is liable for loss or damage due to criminal acts without needing proof of negligence. Let's understand each of the sections which pertain to carriages by road. Section 10 says, common carrier liability is limited to 10 times the freight unless a higher risk rate is agreed, which means that if the value of the cargo is much higher than 10 times the freight that is being charged, then the consignor needs to indicate that rate or that value, and the shipper, shipping company or the transporter needs to accept that. Only then is that carrier liable for a higher risk rate which has been agreed on. Otherwise, the liability is limited to 10 times the freight. Section 10, subclause 2. In case of delivery delay within the agreed period, the liability is limited to the freight charged. What does this mean? This means that, let's say, you are transporting material from here to Delhi, from Mumbai to Delhi, and the agreed time is 10 days. Now, in case of delivery delay within the agreed period, that means that the 10 days agreed, but the material was delayed beyond those 10 days, the liability is limited to the freight charged. So, the 2 days delay is only limited, the liability is limited to the freight charged, because there is a promise or there is a condition that was agreed to, that material would get delivered in the specified or agreed 10 days. Section 12. A common carrier is liable for loss or damage due to criminal acts without needing proof of negligence. So, let's say you have a consignment which is being transported through a common carrier. Now, this common carrier is liable for loss or damage to that consignment due to criminal acts. And these, you can sue him or ask for damages or recover damages without needing any proof of negligence. Section 15. A common carrier can sell goods if the consignor defaults with a 30-day notice for non-perishable items. Notify Section 16. Notify the carrier of loss damage within 180 days for legal action. Section 17. A common carrier is liable for loss or damage to goods except due to acts of God, war, riots, legal seizures or government restrictions. Section 15. A common carrier can sell goods if the consignor defaults with a 30-day notice for non-perishable items. What does this mean? This means that in case if the common carrier has not been paid his rent or the bailable amount, then he has the right to sell those goods with a 30-day notice to the consignor. But this 30-day notice is only restricted to non-perishable items. We definitely understand that a 30-day notice cannot be valid for perishable items. Section 13. Notify the carrier of loss damage within 180 days for legal action. So, in case if the goods are damaged or lost, the consignor needs to inform the carrier about that damage within 180 days from the day that the damage is known. A common carrier is liable for loss or damage to goods except due to acts of God, war, riots or the force majeure conditions, which means that a common carrier will have to pay for damages unless the damage was caused due to some nature conditions, due to rains, sudden cyclones or whatever, war, riots, legal seizures, or government restrictions. Even in the cases a common carrier must exercise due diligence to prevent loss or damage. Carriage of goods by land. Two statutes govern land carriage. The Carriers Act 1865 defining common carrier roles. The Railways Act of 1989. We are looking at transport by road, and now we are looking at even in these cases a common carrier must exercise due diligence, which means that a common carrier is not free of any of his responsibilities. He must ensure that he has his due diligence in place to prevent any loss or damage. That means that, let us say for example, that the truck that he is using is good to carry those goods. The goods are securely placed in the carriage, and there is proper security and let's say a cover put to prevent the goods being damaged by weather conditions. Carriage of goods by land, there are two statutes govern land carriage. The Carriers Act of 1865 defining the common carrier, which means the Carriers Act which pertains to common carriers, and the Railways Act. The common carriers usually are covering the land, the carriage by road, whereas the Railways Act is another form of transport, mode of transport available for land transportation. Rights of a common carrier: entitled to agreed remuneration, or if none, to reasonable remuneration. Second, can refuse to carry goods in certain cases. Third, has a lien on goods and can withhold delivery until paid. Fourth, if the consignee refuses delivery, the carrier can manage the goods as necessary. Fifth, carrier can recover cost and sell perishable goods after notifying the consignee. The rights of a common carrier. Now, when a common carrier is entrusted with the responsibility of moving your cargo from point A to point B, let us understand that the common carrier also has certain rights. He is entitled to the agreed remuneration. So, whatever you have agreed as the transport fare has to be paid. If nothing was agreed, then a reasonable or the market rate would apply. Can refuse to carry goods in certain cases. If he feels that there is no place in his truck, or the cargo that you are handing him is likely to damage some other cargo which is already in the truck, or for whatever other reason, but justified and cannot be on the basis of any discrimination or any other purposes, he can refuse to carry goods for you. Has a lien on goods and can withhold delivery until paid, which implies that if you have agreed with a remuneration and if you don't pay him on time, he can withhold delivery. If the consignee refuses refuses delivery, the carrier can manage the goods as necessary. Let's say you have dispatched the goods as the consigner. The carrier, that is the transporter, takes the goods towards the consignee. Now, once it reaches the consignee refuses to accept the goods or refuses the delivery itself. In this situation, the carrier has the necessary rights to handle those goods as would be necessary. Carrier can recover cost and sell perishable goods after notifying the consignee. In the case where there has been a refusal of delivery by the consignee, the carrier can now recover the costs and sell the perishable goods after notifying the consignee. Carrier can recover damages from consignor if goods are dangerous or poorly packed, causing injury. Carrier's liability is limited according to the Carriers Act provisions. If you are transporting some hazardous cargo or some cargo which is likely to spill over or cause injury, then the carrier, that is the transporter, can always recover damages from you as the consignor, because as a consignor it is your responsibility to ensure that the goods are packed correctly and fit for transportation. Carrier's liability is limited to the Carriers Act provisions, which means that today whatever you can recover from as damages from the transporter, the amounts and the conditions are limited as per the Carriers Act provisions.